So in a way, I suppose where we are standing now is kind of like being on a bridge. When Kimberly and I came back from Florence, beautiful, gorgeous city, we came back early. You could say we evacuated. It's a place of many bridges, and the thing that the time that we're in feels a lot like we are on a bridge where we are not quite where we want to be, but we're also not where we were. And we are on this place, this bridge, this liminal place, this in-between place with the thoughts and emotions we have, but also the memories that we have. And being on this bridge, we look to our past. And, you know, in some sense, I'm speaking very personally here as I enter this next phase of life. I am speaking personally, but I also, in speaking with many of you, recognize that this is also how many of you are currently feeling, especially in this COVID context. And now with this announcement being discussed this morning, the congregation may feel like we are stepping out onto a bridge as well. But when we're in this place, we look at the past, but we also, at the same time, are looking to the future, and we wonder. Just this week, again, talking to people, and they were saying, like, what will the future hold? We would like to know more about the future. And what's interesting is that our memories, what we remember of our experiences, shapes and influences the decisions we make and how we conduct ourselves in the future. You've heard me talk of Professor Dr. Kahneman, Daniel Kahneman, and he actually says, listen, we have these two selves. We have the experiencing self, the self that does the living and the experiencing, and we have the remembering self. When we are living, we are interpreting and recalling and making decisions based on the memories of our experiences. So it's actually the remembering self that has the major influence. And so when we think about the future, the question to ask is, what will you select to remember in order to aid your future? What will you select and choose to remember in order for you to aid and help us in the future? Now, the tricky thing is, the complexity is, that it's easy to forget. In fact, we forget more than we remember. One of the factors in this is something called selective attention. We're very selective at all times. What we're choosing to register and think about and store in our memory. So when you come into a room, there's all kinds going on, but your selective attention is choosing what you're going to think about, what you're going to see, what you're going to write to the hard disk of your memory. So selective attention. Selective attention is also active when we come to recall and remember. So not only are there things that we remember of our experiences, but then when we come time to recall from memory, we're somewhat selective in what we choose to recall and remember. That's selective attention. The other complexity to this, and this is something that's become quite evident during this pandemic, is that when it comes to memory, typically bad is stronger than good. We are more inclined towards negative and bad than good. Words of bad, negative words collect our attention more readily than positive. But is it true that there is more bad than good? No. There's actually a lot of good. And so it is not only a case of remembering, but remembering rightly. And so we want to activate and our selective attention to remember rightly, to remember. This is what Miroslav Volf encourages. Dr. Volf is remembering rightly, remembering truthfully, selectively paying attention and recalling rightly. And so for this morning, I wanted to turn to an artist, the psalmist David. Artists are fantastic at observing life and interpreting what's going on. So much so that the Lord has decided that he would dedicate a significant amount of the psalmist's writings to Scripture. And so we want to turn to Psalm 103. The psalmist David writing, and listen to what he says. Now, David has had a myriad of experiences. I mean, a lot of experiences. He has gone from shepherd and musician to king and soldier to failed husband and grieving father to loving father to appearing to be crazy. He has lived fully and has written prolifically. I invite you to turn to Psalm 103, starting at verse 1. He writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who restores your life from the pit? Who crowns your life with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good? Who satisfies your life with good as long as you live? So your youth is renewed like the eagles." So the psalmist begins here by encouraging us to remember and to remember rightly. And what he is encouraging us to do in the first instance is to remember the what of our lives. And particularly then as we remember the what, to remember the who. Who has forgiven you? Who has healed you inside or out? Who has restored and redeemed you? Who has bestowed graciousness and love upon you? Who has given you good? He goes on in verse 6. "The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He does not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever." That's not him. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. This is the character and the conduct of the Lord. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. He is merciful and gracious. This is the character of the Lord. It is not that he is merely that grace is and mercy is something that he gives or withholds. It is not that mercy and grace are things that he gives or withholds. It is his essence. It is his character. He is merciful and gracious. Praise the Lord. So when we speak about the Lord's presence, it is not an ordinary presence. We are speaking about a particular presence. The Lord's presence, when we pause and acknowledge that the Lord is present, it is a particular presence. It is the presence of this Lord. This is who He is and how He works in the world. And then finally, the psalmist goes on in verse 11. And he explains further by looking at the creation and nature. And he says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love to those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him." He knows how we are made. He remembers. We are dust. We are mortal. We are mortal. And so he explains, the psalmist explains in looking at creation. Scripture is God's first book. Creation is God's second book. We have the privilege of reading both, and they all attest to the Lord. And so here is then the psalmist showing us how to remember rightly, how to remember the good. As we stand on this bridge, and as you are in your place, and you are wondering, and we are wondering, what will the future hold? And yes, it is degrees of unknown, and we cannot see, but as we are on this bridge, the psalmist shows us how to remember and remember rightly the good. Remember the character and the conduct, the providence of God. He is just. Amen. He favors the oppressed and the marginalized. He favors the marginalized. And He is a judge, a righteous judge, particularly against and seeing the judgment of sin. And if we want to know His view, the severity of His judgment of sin, we can look to the cross and the cruelty of Christ on the cross. Sin is an affront to the Lord. It's humans choosing to alienate ourselves from a compassionate, merciful God, choosing to alienate ourselves and place us in the center. That sin is an affront to God, but at the same time, it reveals our powerlessness and our need for a Savior. And the psalmist says, He knows that we are dust. That is a signal from Old Testament, right from the creation account. That means that we are mortal. God knows that we are mortal. He recognizes that we are mortal. God is not. He is immortal. But we are mortal. We are in need and dependent. And He is gracious and merciful and compassionate and forgiving. And all of this is summed up in this phrase that we hear repeated over and over again in the Old Testament, even in Exodus. And I read it, it's when we hear it, then we begin to see it. And it's this summary: steadfast love, loyal love, faithful love. And in the first instance, it means that He is loyal to Himself. He is faithful to Himself. He is faithful to His own character, His mercy and grace. He will always be merciful and gracious. Steadfast love. And then all that this encompasses, as we have just described, just and a judge, and all of this forgiveness and compassion, summarized with He is steadfast love and mercy. This is the truth. This is what we need to recall to mind, what we need to have in the ready access of our memory. God is so inclined that He turns toward us. He continually turns toward us. Not that we deserve it. Even though we deserve quite the opposite. He turns towards us. And so, friends, this is the kind of time that we are living in. And as we stand on this bridge and we look to the past is actually rightly filled with the character and the acts of God in our life. It is not empty or arbitrary. And likewise, our future is likewise filled because God in Christ Jesus is faithful to Himself, and He will continue in the same way by the power of the Holy Spirit in us and within us. So we look back, but not with tears and not with complaint. Oh, we do, but then we remember rightly. And we activate our selective attention. And we are intentional. And we are honest with ourselves. And we recognize the blessings of the Lord that have already occurred in our life to this point. The blessings that are behind are also the blessings of our future. That is our future. Our future is likewise not empty or arbitrary, because we are with the Lord. Christ Jesus is the center of time, is what a scholar put it. Time has found its middle point. That's from Karl Barth. Time has found its middle point. The Lord has healed time by drawing us to the attention of His blessings, both in the past and yet to come. And so the future is not one of darkness, but one of light. Because the kingdom of God continues and will continue. It is life and not death. So as you are in your apartment or your condo right now and you are unsure, be sure of this. The blessings of the past are the blessings of the future. The future you have is one of light and not darkness. The future that you have is life because of Jesus Christ. And so, let's pay attention. Let's select what we will recall, what we will remember, the character and conduct of the Lord. And I want to invite you, if you are joining us by live stream this morning, maybe we haven't met, but I want to invite you, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, having described who He is, you are here because the Lord has invited you. He has called you by name. Turn to Him. He is welcoming you right now. Regardless of your circumstance, whether you feel you don't deserve it or whether you feel you do, we are all in need of this kind of Savior. Turn to Him. He is inclined and open arms. And will you bless the Lord? Will you see and acknowledge, and through noticing, a sense of noticing with a holy purpose today and this week, reading the second book all around you, His creation, or this, His first? Will you bless the Lord? Bless the Lord, the psalmist finishes. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken words. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.